Just trash in general?
Alright. Everyone feel at home yet in their, in our new little corner?
Not really.
What can we do to make you feel home?
Yeah, they're all
3 hours long. You want to go up there above the sanctuary? The rooftop?
I'll put you in there.
It's not as visible.
Yeah.
The ceiling and the
I mean, actually, they do have somewhere for you to walk up there, so I mean, it's possible.
What?
It can happen for sure.
That's looking pretty
good. I think it looks like that's like where all the sound guys are going. Hey, I want to let you guys know, it's going to be a little different today. First time in our new little building here, in our new little room for youth group. And I was talking to Drake about this at work. We were going to keep the crown thing going. We're going to probably pick that up next time. But I was thinking, just the Lord's been doing some stuff in my life this week, and I want to kind of share that with you guys. But also, I was just thinking, next week is Thanksgiving time. And, you know, why not just take some time to pause and just think about what the Lord's done for us and be thankful for those things. And what a great way to dedicate our new space, you know, to the Lord in that way. You know, just letting them know, hey, we're not just going to keep things rolling as if this is just some natural thing that took place here. You know, Pastor Bob has been trying to relay that to the church, you know, just the ability for God to financially to supply us what we needed to, you know, just move in with nothing but cash and cover those things. And then the people, the stewards that were here before us, to be so willing to work with us and make that transition so easy for us and all the things like that. There's a lot of great blessings that God has done here recently that we don't just want to, like, kind of act like that didn't happen. That's what the devil will want us to do. You know, every time God does something special in our life, he would love nothing more than for us to receive that and move on really quick without realizing it. Because once you do that, you kind of like just keep moving on. It's not that significant anymore. You're not looking for God to do any more in that, you know. But when you stop and pause and celebrate those things, you know, think about some of the goofy stuff that we celebrate, like touchdowns for people that don't care about you at all, stuff like that, you know, that have no impact on your eternity, have no impact even on your day-to-day life, honestly, unless you wanted to. But we celebrate that stuff without giving God the glory for the stuff that really matters and everything like that. So real quick before we start getting into that, I told you guys next Friday, I'm probably going to try to set something up, just some type of hangout just so we can touch base before our little Christmas party, which is going to be like the second week, which is what I'm looking at right now, December. So we'll get some more info out on those things. But, how's it going, Laura? Yeah. Shadow, you got lost.
I'm
fine in here.
I'm sure. Did she drop you off to class?
That's so sweet. That was cute.
She just made a bath.
That's rude.
Yeah.
That
was rude. Probably toilet before. Mom, don't get
it. Yeah, no.
You guys have any ideas for the hangout next Friday? You just want me to come up with everything and just send out the... We might eat food. We might not fast that night. Friday fast.
No.
But no activities. You went ice skating, right? She's all down for that. You're not. It is a lot of fun, but you're not worn out from practices and all that stuff like that.
No. Okay. I mean, it's like
All right.
No.
You are not tired.
What's Jared? There he is. What's the best place to ice skate?
Summit Ice is really good, but they close a little early, so we'd have to get there about, like, kind of like 6 or something. They close at 7 on Fridays.
What time does the one on Crown Center close?
9 on Fridays.
Oh, okay. That might be a better option.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Is it close at 6, Summit Ice?
7 at Summit, yeah, but Crown is also bigger, and I think they have a little bit cheaper skate rental.
Okay, cool.
Eat food at
Crown
Center.
Yeah, there's food for other too. We do enjoy Crown Center. Get something around there.
There's also Black Friday.
I mean, it is true. Though. So it could be crazy.
Just,
yeah.
I mean,
that could be really crazy. What we normally do, if we don't do the ice skate this time, we usually always do it in February. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
We have in the past.
Usually before volleyball starts and stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
So that can happen. Anything else? What are you boys talking about back there?
He's talking about there's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Why there's no Wi-Fi? Glory to God!
Yeah.
Amen!
No,
White Friday.
Oh, this is said Wi-Fi, no Wi-Fi.
No, I
didn't know Wi-Fi. What's, no, Oh, why is it called White Friday? Because that's offensive.
I said, why is it not White Friday?
Because it's too offensive to be White Friday. Yeah, you have to be people of color Friday. Yeah. There you go. That's probably what they would say. Something like that. Something crazy.
What'd you say about Zach Jordan?
Who is it?
Wow. Jordan. He's turning red.
He said
I mean, last time I saw you turn that red was when Addy walked in the room. So oh. I mean, man. Good boy. Okay, that's good. He goes together. I don't know. I don't got anything else. You guys want to share anything? What's happening with you this week? I feel like we haven't met forever, so I got to kind of catch up with you to find out where we're at. We're going to break this room in. I kind of like this spot, man. We can get a lot done in here for sure. You about to put your arm around your sister? Give her a hug?
Oh.
Oh, that's even better. That is sweet. I would not fix anything on my brothers. Just let them look crazy. Woo!
Let's hold that up, bro.
I brought back
colors of the rainbow.
Did
you do that yourself?
No,
yeah.
I did not do them myself.
I mean, if you did,
I couldn't get them done. But I just thought that you all should know that Shakinzi has made a reappearance.
We know, we love Shakinzi. We love Shakinzi. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All right.
Pop off, girl.
But what were you about to say? Nothing. You got anything good to happen this week? Nothing at all? What? What did Tyler do this week? Has he been a good boy? Is he getting better? Because all that attention you're giving him is making him a person.
He's getting ready to drive her new car.
What? What's your new car?
I don't understand why that's
happening. Yeah, why don't you tell us about this?
I'm here to
tell you. I thought that silver one out in front of your dad's house was yours, but that's not yours. I think it's not. Is that like an Eclipse or something like
that's
that?
The neighbor's.
That's a Mitsubishi.
Oh, okay.
Mitsubishi.
That's an Eclipse. They have Eclipse, right?
They do.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, dude.
Alright.
Okay. Jay, what about you, man? Is life super slow now without soccer in it? I just want to be in that spirit. I feel like I would live longer if I had more of your spirit. Just like slow things down, just calm, let the room. So I'll take a moment now. That was awesome. Like, it's too meditating.
I think Jay does it best.
He definitely does it best. Jay's I thought I could do it though. Yeah. I need him in my life. Just to like calm me. Like if I start having a heart attack, just touch him and he'll like
calm my heart.
Yeah. Holton, what about you? What's happening now that the yards aren't growing anymore?
Oh, it was deer season this week.
Oh. Ooh. So mow the deer down. Could you imagine that? Like just a whole field of deer, like the second coming and just take a lot more over.
Like,
oh my gosh. Mm. What's the best spot for deer?
We see them everywhere on our property. Actually, I got a dog Monday.
Do you have to have tags to shoot something on your property?
Yeah.
But if it walks in your garage?
You still have to have tags, even if you're on your property.
What about
you?
If it walks in your garage?
Well, I've seen those videos like where deer walk up to like the front door and stuff like that and just like looks around.
We got some bears doing that.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened to us yet.
Do you have to have a bear tag to shoot a bear?
I have not yet. Mm. There's a season for deer or bear in Missouri now.
Terrifying.
I don't know when it is.
That's what I just thought.
Have you seen any mountain lions? Someone like 2 years ago out there.
Do we have them in this? Do we have them in this area, or is it like a special area where mountain lions are?
We saw them on our property.
You saw a mountain lion on your property.
My dad saw one about 20 years ago, and then we saw another one about 2 years ago.
What, you mean like the property you live on now?
I was feeling better.
Like where we're having a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Zach, break out your.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll do that. Yeah. You guys remember that a couple of years ago on camp?
Oh,
that
was awful.
That mountain lion and heat calling out there? Kelly Crawford. Yeah, okay. Yeah, a cougar. A cougar and heat. Yeah, huh?
It makes you feel any better. We saw it when we were at the cabin.
Perfect.
It makes you
perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Like it's nesting grounds.
You mean when we have our bonfire?
Yeah, that being like in the pitch black, like where you got about 28 feet of light and then just darkness and all around
dark,
you.
Darkness.
Oh, oh my god, dude.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, well, this is how we know if you're in fellowship or not. We'll everybody pray before you get there. Hopefully, the Lord takes and who he doesn't. So,
right, must have fellowship.
Yeah. I know you might be having a new youth pastor too.
I will be carrying.
I was that night for sure. I was going to try to accidentally shoot Alex, but it didn't work out. What happened to that dude? He was supposed to go on gravity by that and wasn't up here
I
yet.
I saw him coming up here.
He was talking to me.
He's still going up and down other stairwells.
Oh, he's still talking. Yeah.
I think that's it, though. Any announcements for you, Jim? Nothing?
Did I miss?
Well, I kind of brought up next Friday what we might do. And then I got distracted and started talking about other stuff. And then now we're back around to you. So... Nothing really. Not much. We talked about Mountain Bees. Colton saw some out on his property where we're going to have our bonfire and Christmas party. Right around that cabin area. So
keep Brennan Brady close.
Yes, that's promising. Or don't, just let the Lord do what he does. You know, just like, pretty much the Lord's will. Yeah. You done all you could, Lord. What else? You guys all next week or just like Thursday?
We have to go Monday, Tuesday.
You have to go all Sunday. You're off all week?
Yeah, tomorrow's my last day, but I have a super big speech first hour.
Holy cow. Wow. What class is this? Speech class?
Yes.
What are you speaking on?
We're doing persuasion, and so I'm doing why negativity is shown in a greater impact, in a greater...
Hey, look. Hey. I think it's probably wrong. Go ahead, Holly, I'm listening.
Why negativity is seen in a greater amount than positivity, and it's easier to see. And it's 7 minutes at the minimum, so...
7 minutes at the minimum? Oh, okay.
Let's not take that
one. You can shoot from the hip on that, man.
Yeah.
That's it. You guys feel awkward around each other now?
Why?
I'm just asking. Everybody, am I making it awkward? Just bring up a random, like, really weird subject. We do kind of need to sit around, don't we? I like to get closer to more of you. I'm gonna have to lay over the top of Kinsey and yeah. Well, so that's a good point. I was gonna put the pulpit over here and put you guys over here at one point, but then that might be. Why didn't I do that? Oh, because I wanted to put the timeline up here and have that behind me. That's right.
Nice.
So because we needed to do that, we needed a bigger
one. Have the chart and they don't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Go up to the youth group room for the chart, but So I wanted to do that. I think that's what ended up happening, because originally we thought it would be weird having traffic come through here. But I don't know. Do you guys have a better arrangement that we should have done here? I think this is probably fine. It's working out good. All right.
We can split it.
What, split the aisle? You know, like put the chairs? I know, but then people can like lean up against the wall and fall asleep. So it's just... That was a good point.
You
know, it's like in the back right now, dude.
This is the perfect.
I can't wait till it's like 20 degrees because that window doesn't shut sometimes, and it's gonna be like frost on that ledge. You're not gonna be able to put your hand on there anymore. That's right. It's like a whole drift coming in here. That window doesn't shut.
Nice.
Huh? Is it cold back there?
Okay. No, it's a bit of a breeze, but
a
little bit. I felt the seat felt cold.
Only one way to warm those things up. Let's stand up and sing, guys.
Right.
Come on. Drake, after we pray, is going to read our opening psalm. I want to do that more often, man. I like reading those psalms before we get singing. Get your heart and mind right. Do a little shout in here, boy. It's probably going to get loud in here. All right.
You
feel
spiritual tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, what's your hand for, buddy?
So spiritual.
I know.
Or like that. All right. Mr. McClanahan, please open us up with a word of prayer, and then you read your psalm to us.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for this new church building and the opportunity that it presents. Thank you for just this youth group and Zach as our leader and all the leadership you've put in this church, Lord. And thank you for all the work that you've done in their lives and the work that you're doing in our lives. And let just everything that's done tonight be for your glory. And
amen.
Let's commit it to our hearts and take it throughout our week. In your name, amen.
Yeah, amen, Lord. Amen. It's good.
Psalm 98.
I read it like you mean it, Drake. What is that? Somebody's heart monitor? What? Oh, that thing. Got it. Go ahead. Great.
Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory.
Amen.
The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly shewed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel.
Mm.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord in all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. Mm. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity.
Righteousness and equity. You know, that's one of the biggest things these social justice people are talking about right now. More equity, more justice, more judgment, and all that stuff like that. The only true time you can really take care of that is when Jesus Christ comes back in the millennium. So I'm looking forward to that good old time there. Turn over to 440, I think it's 445. No, not that one. 442. Praise him, praise him, praise him. 442. All right, here we go. Let's break it in here.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Our blessed Redeemer, for our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reign forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. For Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness.
Over a couple pages, 445. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
Amen.
No, not one. Here we go.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
No, not one.
No, not one.
No, not one. None else can heal all our souls' disease.
No, not one.
No,
not one, no, not
first
one.
First Lord, it ever saved.
Did ever like the Savior given. No, not one.
Yeah, sing it out.
No, not one.
And will
He refuse us a home?
Thank God He won't.
In heaven. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day
Amen.
Is
Amen.
Done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
All right, that was a little low there, my bad. 270. The haven of rest. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, soul burdened with sin and distress. But I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. Here we go, verse 1.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. Till I heard a sweet voice saying,
make me your choice.
Your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild storm deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
My Savior, first of all, when my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me.
I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Here we go, verse 1. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, and the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Sing it out now. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know, I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand.
Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye.
How my full heart will praise him for his mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand.
Through the dear ones from his glory,
how they beckon me to come, and the parting at the river I recall. To the sweet bells of Eden they will sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hands. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages,
I shall
hold it out with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all.
I shall know
him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I will stand.
I shall know
him,
I shall know
him, by the print of the nails in his hand. 504. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Is that a little low for you guys? Okay, let's go up a little bit. Verse 2. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we shall offer a tribute of praise for his glorious gift of of his love, and the blessings that hallow our days.
In the sweet
by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
In the sweet
by
and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. All right, good stuff. You guys got one before I pick the next one? Now we have our little packets again that we can sing out of there. So we got I Know My Name is there in there, Complete in D, all of our old goodies. Let's do that one.
I Know My Name.
Get that, let's do Complete in D. Yeah, I know.
Let's do some packet songs.
Okay, so people in the front row are going to need them.
I think everybody else has them.
They're in the back.
Oh, I'm going to hang
up.
So, those of you that are new to these, we'll start with Complete in D. Actually, let's start with I Know My Name. It's the first one. Let's just do that one. Before we lose our voices. Alright. So you guys, I remember this melody. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. How many girls remember their part on this thing? So,
girls. We can do it.
So, I need some guys. You guys sing the normal part. I'll try to do the girls part, and then we'll have Mason do the part. She can pick it up.
Where's Kenzie? Where's Kenzie?
I know. I think you said I'm gonna wait for Kenzie
and then I'll just. Okay. Hopefully by the time we're done. Otherwise, Ace got to do a solo up here. Along with Selma.
She's
ready to go. Selma's ready to go. Elena's ready to go.
Ace is ready to go.
The time is a little weird.
It's weird.
I'm
singing the bottom line.
All right, so boys, go ahead and
Hello, son.
It's like a hair with a mustache. I can't. You said sing the song. Yeah. What is that? That's the top line.
I don't know.
She just asked me to sing the starting pitch.
Thanks for
email church.
I have no idea. But, so.
I was just saying yes.
Wait, so how'd you guys fill that little test over there? Said high or low?
That was fun.
That was good right there.
But
yeah.
If I have to sing with the girls.
So girls are like, my name is... But you're not singing that low. You're singing...
Yeah, we know.
I can't hold that there, so... So, I'm going to sing the girls' part while the boys are singing. There. All right, so... Boys, here we go. One, two, ready, go. My name... Yeah, sing the song. All right, so here we go. The boys are going to do the song. I'm going to try to sing the girls' part in a manly voice, though. They'll have to pay subscribe to like their
team. All right, here we go. Not from the course, just from the start.
From the top, boys. Here we go. Ready? Go. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know, 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 I know,
praise God, it's ever clear.
My girl.
I know.
I know.
That was very a lot. But how, so, girls, you guys feel like you're kind of... It's fine. We're going to do this so much.
I got it.
We're not going to do that anymore.
There we go. All
right. Let's do it from the top. Let's do it from the top. Well, the more we do it, the more you guys will get used to it. Let's just sing it to the Lord this time. Here we go. Verse 1. Whoa, what was that?
Sing it to the Lord?
Yeah. Anything, you remember how to do this?
Need some harmony.
You remember how to do the harmony on I Know My Name Is There for the
she
girls?
Does. Oh, like, no, it's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I can
kind of
like side
reading,
but.
Okay, sure, side reading. Well, the only problem with side reading is I may have given them something that's not written. It may have just given them something that sounds good.
Oh, wait, no.
Remember this? So the boys. My name is in. So the girls are. My name is in the book.
That's crazy.
That, but I just can't do it that long like that. So it's fine. Hey, we'll sing this stuff enough. We got our packets back. We'll get used to it over time. Let's go back. Let's just sing it through to the Lord wholeheartedly. Verse 1 again. Here we go.
My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus.
Bless his name.
I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear.
Sit down. This is a new song. This is a new song. We're going to be implementing this one real soon. My new favorite here. It's called There's No Name So Sweet on Earth. Check it out.
There is no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven. The name before his wondrous birth, to Christ the Savior given. We love to sing of Christ the King, and hail him blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard, so dear, so sweet as Jesus. 'Twas Gabriel first that did proclaim to his most blessed mother the name which now and evermore we praise above all other. And when he hung upon the tree, they wrote his name above him, that all might see the reason we forevermore must love him. We love to sing of Christ the King, and hail him blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard, so dear, so sweet as Jesus. So now upon his Father's throne, Almighty to release us from sin and pain, he ever reigns, the Prince and Savior, Jesus. O Jesus, by thy matchless name, thy grace shall fail us never. Today as yesterday the same, thou art the same forever. We love to sing of Christ the King, and hail him blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard, so dear, so sweet as Jesus. To Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess Amen. Him. And we unite with saints in light, our only Lord to bless him. We love to sing of Christ the King, and hail him blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard, so dear, so sweet as Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine standing before God, and you've got all your life behind you. Before you, there's a great white throne. Beneath you, there's nothing. There's pitch blackness. You wonder, how in the world am I holding myself up? How is this possible? I'm so used to the confines of the laws of physics and stuff like that, and things making sense where I have to have something holding. It's not making sense. I'm floating in outer space, and there's God on this huge white throne, so intimidating, so powerful, so majestic. And then you realize it must be him that's holding me up. And as you stand before God, you notice that beneath you there's nothing. Before you there's a holy, righteous God, and behind him there's heaven. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get into there? And then he opens your mouth, because right now you're dumb, you can't speak. The sight that you're seeing is so awesome, it's so powerful, it's so wonderful that you can't open your mouth to speak, but he gives you the grace to be able to speak in that moment. Then he says, what's so impressive about you that I should let you come live with me forever in this perfect place? What can you say?
Jesus.
Amen. Jesus. Jesus. That's the thing that's going to make the difference. That's what God's impressed with. He's not impressed with anything man has ever done. Amen. He made us from the dust of the ground. The Bible says we're even lower than the angels. All right? We're not his greatest creation that he ever made. But what he is impressed with is what he did for us. How he left his throne, came down there, saw our need, saw us headed to hell, took our place on that cross,
And then if we take his name to our lips, what does the Bible say? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that who's Lord?
Jesus
Christ. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Once we take his name into our lips, that's the name right there that God wants to hear. There is a name I love to hear. So sweet. So I love that song, man. That's going to be one of our new ones that we get into. I took up more time singing than I wanted to. That's all right. We'll get used to our routine again pretty soon. Tonight is kind of a confessional. I'm about to put myself on blast out here about some stuff that I've been lacking in, all right? But hopefully with that, we can thank God together about what he still chose to do in spite of me, all right? And if we have time, I mean, we might be able to get into that. I don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, tonight I have prepared to do the judgment seat of Christ and talk about the first crown tonight. But because of the events that took place this past week, the Lord just moved it differently upon my heart. There's nothing scripted tonight. But it's definitely going to come straight from the heart, all right? So, one time a question was asked, can God prepare a table or can he furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What does that mean? So, the whole premise behind that thing is, we know where tables are supposed to be. We know how they get furnished. You usually have a cook. You've got to have groceries that are cooked up by the cook. After the groceries are cooked up by the cook, they're placed on the table and presented and laid out for people to eat. Well, that's not so unusual in a city, all right? That's not so unusual in a town where you've got a grocery store or a house where you've got a pantry or a refrigerator and an oven and stuff like that. But the question comes up, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And maybe you say, well, of course, God can do anything. The problem is, I'd say the last 5 or 4 years of my life, I've been living like, no, he can't. And let me explain that to you. The way I've been living my life has been right. It's been good in this sense. I've been making really good decisions, and because of that, getting very good outcomes because of those decisions. One of the things we share with people when they're going through people ministry and stuff like that is, no matter where you've been, no matter what problems you're trying to get over now, from this day on, you no longer have to make a bad choice ever again in your life. Right? You guys ever heard that before? Okay, so maybe if you haven't, now you're hearing it again, or for the first time. From this day on, you never have to make a bad choice. Now, why is that? Because of the principles in the Word of God. And so what happens is, you start getting into a routine, you start getting into a habit. You make church a normal part of your life. You make hanging out with Christian people a normal part of your life. And because of that, you're around other people that believe those things, that make those same choices, those decisions. And sometimes you don't have to read the Bible. You can just copy their life. And you can start living better because of that. You're hanging out with people that want to do good. They're not hanging out at the, you know, doing stupid stuff like the rest of the world is and stuff like that. And before long, it's subtle. You don't realize it's happening like this, but you start to mirror their life. You start to live a really good life that's having really good returns because you're making good decisions like that now. But before you know it, you're trusting God less and less. And you're trusting the company you hang out with more and more. And you're trusting your ability to make good choices more. Now you say, well, I mean, of course, you want to be able to make good choices. Absolutely. But here's the problem, is what are you actually putting your trust in? Mm-hmm. I remember one of the things when I first came to this church back in the day, I had absolutely nothing. You know, I had the clothes on my back, of course, and I had a pillow. When I left my parents' house, I took my mattress and a pillow and I think a backpack with me. All right? And I moved in with two other guys. One was an older brother, another one was a guy that didn't go here anymore. We all lived in this little house. I think I paid like $250 rent a month or something like that. I think I was making like $8,000 a year, something like that. laughable. I mean, I don't know if you guys have an idea of money today, but anyway. Yeah, like not hitting on, you know, what you expect to retire on or whatnot. So anyway, was living like that. And the funny thing about it is, I remember how excited I was at this church because even though I didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of possessions, didn't even have a lot of knowledge, someone gave me something that was more valuable than anything else, and that was a Bible. Mm-hmm. And see, I grew up in church. I was 19 years old when this happened, all right? And I grew up in church all my life. Dad was a pastor. Uncles were preachers. I didn't know anybody in my family who wasn't saved or doing something in church, okay? So it's not like it was a foreign concept of having a Bible. But I didn't have the Bible. I had Bibles or whatever these perversions were, okay? And the problem with that, guys, is that there's no authority behind any of those things. And because of that, I was kind of tossed to and fro by everyone's doctrine. But when I finally came to Old Paths, and I got under Bob's teaching, I finally had the Bible, and I had authority, which was more valuable to me than anything else. There's a spot over there in Psalm 119 where the Bible says that his testimonies will make you wiser than the ancients. It says it will make you wiser than your own teachers. You see, and up to that point, I had an awesome life, honestly. Before I left my parents' house, I had a great family life. I really wasn't one of those kids that ever rebelled against my parents, nothing like that. I really enjoyed staying, you know, home with them. I never spent the night over anybody's house because I just thought that was weird. Like, why'd you want to do that when you got a good family at home? We never did that. We really didn't. I hung out with Will and Alex. That was all I did. And we practiced sports or played our instruments. And there was Boston here. So, we're going to open this door and try to get this thing out. All right, Alex is going in on it.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, God! Rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
All right, good job, Alex.
I'm not sure it's dead.
It's going to fall. That was dead, yeah. Just so you guys know, when I was backing up, I was getting ready to throw. So I wasn't like running from the back. Come on, man. Thank you, Alex. All right, so where was I in the story? Where
is it? Good home sleepovers.
Good home life, no sleepovers. We're trying. All right.
Hung out with us.
Hung out with Will and Alex, all right? So that was it, man. Like, that was contentment for me. And I not only was my immediate family awesome to be around, but my extended family was super awesome. We'd go down to Wichita, Kansas, like literally 50 relatives in one house for like Thanksgiving holidays, for Christmas holidays, for 4th of July, just for other excuses that we try to make up just to get back together throughout the year, all right? And then you have these awesome times when they do surprise visits and just pop in out of nowhere. So awesome family life. But once I got that Bible, it was like God put one in one hand and him in the other and said, which one do you want? And my question was like, well, God, why in the world would you do something like that? Why would you set me up like this? I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. Before I was in college, I was losing my mind. I was about to go into depression. Sports failed. Music failed. You freaking gave me a scholarship for music, and now you're making it fail. You're not giving me fulfillment in this. You're not giving me satisfaction in these things. I pursued these things. I worked my butt off to get these things. And now, Lord, you're not giving me satisfaction in it? What's going on? And the only thing I've gotten satisfaction in was when I came to this Thursday night Bible study, see this old scruffy-looking preacher up here open up a book, and all of a sudden I get fulfilled from that. What's going on? And not only that, I'm fulfilled by this book, but it looks like it's about to cost me my family, my friends, my reputation, and any type of logical explanation that I can give to them for why I'm doing what I'm doing. It was like God was calling me just to step out on faith and trust him in this process. You know what it was like? It's like you're on a shore, you're on a beach, and behind you, there's a village. In that village, you are very familiar with everyone that's there. You've got a lifestyle back there. You've got routines. You've got habits. You've got your possessions. You know where you're going to get your next meal from and all that stuff like that. And that's where you grew up, and that's what you're used to. But out in front of you, there's just this vast, wide, what seems like an endless ocean. And right there is a boat, a little boat. And somebody says, well, which way do you want to go, Zach? Do you want to step into this boat, or you want to go back to the village where it's warm, where there's a soft bed for you, where there's food for you, where there's people you know, there's comforts? You want to go out here into this boat, and whatever storms come your way, you'll just be left up to them. Whatever food is out there, you'll have to find and figure out how to do it. What do you want to do? Now, that seems like an easy decision to make, right? Go back to what you know. See, that's good decision making. Go back to what you know. Go back to what you've been brought up on. Make a good choice and go back to what you can logically and rationally explain to everybody else. Here's the only problem. God was getting into the boat. That boat at that time in my life was Old Paths. And he was saying to me, you broke down after that concert and cried to me and said, whatever I tell you to do, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter what you lose, you would give it up and you would do that for me. Am I right, boy? Yes, sir. Speak up. Yes, sir. Here's the boat. Or you can go back to your comforts and try to figure that thing out yourself. Now, to everyone that I knew in my life at that time, that was a horrible decision to make. My dad said, he's not going to bless that. As far as they're concerned, I'm a reprobate. They're casting me off. In their minds, they were treating me like 1 Corinthians 5. Letting me go into the world so that, what does the Bible say, that so that his spirit could be saved in the day of Jesus Christ for the destruction of the flesh type of deal. So I was brainwashed and everything else. A cult. And in their mind, they were doing what we even tell certain parents to do in this church. When you have a kid that's reprobate and acting up at the house, we tell them, hey, if that dude doesn't want to live under the Bible, let him go out and let the devil feed him. And then that way, at least the rest of the kids can be protected and saved. And so that's what they're worried about Alex. They're worried about my influence on Alex. All right, so that was about 14 years ago. This is why I said that. For the last 4 years. Let me go back real quick. When I did that, though, when I stepped out into that boat, though I lost the reputation, though I lost the respect amongst all of them and everything like that, and a rational excuse and reasoning and all that stuff like that that was going on, what I did feel so close was the touch of God on my life and almost everything that I did. It was like he just kept opening doors up. Even though I didn't have nothing, you couldn't have told me that. If you would have asked me, I would have felt like I owned the world. Because I had God who owned every cow on all the thousand hills and everything like that. If you have God who owns it all, it doesn't matter what you have. Just ask him for it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it was like at that time. And the problem is I got so used here lately to making my own good decisions. Now, I knew it. I could tell it was happening, but I tried to justify it. Now, why am I saying this? Am I saying this just to bring attention to me? Because maybe somebody sitting here is doing the same exact thing, making the same mistake. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, God's not doing nothing in your life right now. You're going through a routine. You've gotten used to this process of just coming to church, reading your Bible, getting into your notes. Maybe you'll get like these little gleanings because there's profit in reading the Bible. There's profit in hanging out with good people. There's profit in standing under biblical teaching. But you don't grow with God until you put your neck on the line for him. Because growth with God is based off of trust in him. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please me. Not without doctrine. Not without truth. Not without reading your Bible. Whoa, are you sure about that? Yeah, absolutely. Now, truth is super important. You got to have it, because otherwise somebody might be telling you some crap that's not true. So you got to have it. What's the problem with truth? The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. So did you guys know that all the stuff that we learn in Thursday night Bible studies, all the stuff that we learn doctrinally about the tribulation period and stuff like that, listen, I've run into unsaved people that do that stuff. Mm-hmm. What I haven't run into is unsaved people that are willing to give everything up in their life to let God work on their behalf.
Amen.
That's why that's impressive to God. You see, you ever think about that? God has got to make the standard for getting close to him equal for everybody, regardless of your intellect, regardless of your IQ, regardless of how fast you can read, regardless of how much knowledge and information you can retain. If I'm sitting up here and reading 50 pages of my Bible a day and get through the Bible 3 times a year, but all Colton does is goes out there and dedicates each day to God, and when God tells him to do something, he listens and he does it. Did you know Colton's more spiritual than your youth pastor? Mm-hmm. That's how God looks at it. It's not about who's up front teaching and leading. Now, why am I saying that? And I got to give a disclaimer. I'm not going to say what the decision was, but you'll probably figure it out when I give general details about the situation. But my goal is not to bring light to that particular decision I made. Because this is a divisive subject, and I'm not trying to do that. I've got friends on both sides of this thing. But I want you guys to understand something. I was starting to get more and more into that funk lately, just like, man. I don't know about you. You guys ever get tired of reading about faithful people in the Bible and stuff like that? And like you go to Hebrews 11, you read like about the heroes of faith and stuff like that. By faith, he sojourned and trusted in God. By faith, they moved to seeing him who was invisible. By faith. Aren't you tired of reading about faithful people? Don't you want to start becoming one sometime?
Amen.
Like, that's where I was getting at. It was just like, I'm sick and tired of reading these great Christian journals on David Brainerd. And these missionaries that went out here and did these awesome things for God. Guys, you know what that's like? How many of you guys in here have a smartphone? Like, raise your hands. What's the biggest difference between a smartphone and, like, a dumb phone, I guess? I would say. Somebody help me out here. Somebody that's really good with, like, explaining tech stuff.
I think it's because of the computer.
So, like, more like a computer system, maybe? You can just access more? I don't know. So, Jerry, you used to have a flip phone, don't you?
I used to.
What was the biggest difference between your flip phone and your smartphone?
Internet.
Okay, so internet. Well, that's huge. I mean, if you can access data and information that's all across the world and see movies and do all this different types of... That is huge. That's huge. So check it out. Let's say average smartphone, $1,000. Jared and I both go out and buy a smartphone. We pay our $1,000. We work like a whole year just to afford that thing, and we go out to buy it. Excuse me. I come back home. I've got internet. I've got awesome videos. I don't need like Hollywood cameras. I can just use my phone to shoot these videos and all this stuff like that. My $1,000 was worth it. I got the return on my investment. Jared pays the same amount of money, but all his phone does is answer calls and send texts. Now, do you guys think Jared's going to be content with that? He's going to be all right with that? He'll be like, well, that's cool. I mean, that's all right. At least it sends calls and receives texts. Okay, would you be okay with that? You paid $1,000 for all these cool gadgets and stuff like that, and it only does what the basic $10 phone does? That's how we are with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
The same Holy Spirit of God that was working through Moses and all these heroes of faith and stuff like that, and all these great missionaries down throughout the centuries, where there's nothing impossible for him to accomplish, we're satisfied with him just giving us a 9-to-5 and a couple of meals a day. How did that happen? Why are we upset about, why don't we have buyer's remorse? Huh? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So, Monday, I walk into work, and on Friday they made a big announcement about they're going to be letting some people go and stuff like that. All right? And I didn't have any idea what I was going to do. I knew I didn't. I was not willing to make the compromise that they wanted me to make to keep my job. And I've been employee of the year there. I've got a good reputation with them and everything like that. And I come in Monday morning. And the head guy in charge, the number two guy actually, the head guy wasn't there yet. The number two guy comes up to me and says, hey, sorry, you probably didn't hear about it, but it kind of turned into a fiasco Friday when I made this announcement. I just wanted to, before you got your week started, kind of let you know what was going on. And he told me what was going on and said, so you got anything to say about that? You got any response to that? I guess he got cussed out on Friday a couple of times by people and just a bad thing. So I was just like, no, man, you know what? I actually appreciate you guys saying that. That's cool. I mean, at least I know how to move forward now and what to do from here. And so he kind of looks at me like confused, like, okay, you realize you're going to be fired, right? And I was like, no, I mean, you guys have been awesome. No, I really appreciate that. Thanks for keeping me being transparent and letting me know what's going on. So I get my stuff. I head out to the floor. About 20 minutes later, I see him. I'm just kind of being casual and just trying to go by him. And he's like, well, hold on. So where are you at with this? Are you going to do what we need you to do? I was like, no. I mean, unfortunately, that's just something I'm not willing to compromise on. And so he was like, well, that's unfortunate. We really wanted to keep you. And he did. The week before, he's a new guy to our department, a new manager that came in. And for whatever reason, it was like one of those times. You guys know how it is. There's certain days like where you just say things really clear and it comes across the right way, and it's just like, wow, I almost never flow like that, Lord. You really did a good job right there. Like, help me out. But you know it's not you. You know it's not you. All right, so that thing happened, and he was just blown away. He was just like, I can't believe your skills. Why aren't you in leadership? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? I was just like, well, honestly, I mean, and I got a chance to witness to him. I said, the number one thing that I care about is what's happening outside of here, you know, with my church. That's my number one thing. I'm a minister, and that's what I'm here for. And I was like, whatever way I can help you guys out that doesn't interfere with that, I'm more than willing to do it. And I don't care what you guys don't want to do type of deal. He's just like, anyway, when he gave me, like, he's going to make, like, a new job for me or something like that. But anyway, check it out. So that happened the previous week, and here we are on Monday. So this is why he's saying, well, that's really disappointing. And so then he's like, well, he asked me, well, we got this process that you can go through to try to, like, have something work out for you guys. I'm like, well, maybe I'll do that. But I'm not really counting on that. I mean, that's not that big a deal. I can just see he's, like, confounded. Number one, why are you not cussing me out like everybody else has? Why are you not getting upset and throwing your arms all over the place and stuff like that? Why are you just going along with this thing so easily? And so then he's like, well, if that's the case, I mean, we're leaving on good terms then? I was like, absolutely. I said, you guys have been the best supervisors I've ever had in my life. This company is the best company I've ever worked for. You guys have done more for me than I've ever deserved or needed. You guys have gone above and beyond with all that stuff. You've always been transparent. You've always taken care of me. I've got nothing but good things to say about you guys. And so now he's just like, what in the world is happening? All right? I'm not saying this up to brag, guys. What I'm trying to show you is, remember what I talked about? A Christian's job is to go through the same turmoil and heartache that the world goes through.
Amen.
But do it the exact opposite way to be a testimony.
Amen.
We always talk about this. Christians are always witness and sometimes use words. We really usually just say that because we don't want to pass out tracts and be embarrassed by it.
Come on.
All right? That's what that comes down to. But this is the true way how to go about that. So anyway, he's like, all right, he's like, listen up. They're probably going to fire you, but he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make some calls. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you stay on. But then he said this, and this is where I saw God come into it. He said, if they fire you, I'm going to make calls around town to make sure you have somewhere to go before you get fired. This is an unsaved man. This guy is super liberal, super egotistical. Drake knows him, all right? He's got like little man syndrome where he walks into a room, no matter what. This is what happened Friday. Our old boss was leaving. They were throwing this big goodbye party for him. Everyone was all happy and everything like that. He walks into the room 2 minutes before everyone walks out the door and says, all right, listen up. This is what's going on. That type of guy. Not being conscious of the fact that, hey, this is the boss's last day. Let him leave on a good memory. You know, let his employees say goodbye to him. Maybe we can handle this all on Monday. You know, let everybody enjoy their weekend. Nope. I'm the man with the big announcement. I'm coming in to let you guys know. Boom. Peace. So he does that. But then, this is what I'm talking about, guys. And I won't lie. For whatever reason, I thought I was on drugs or something like that. I found out about this on Friday, that an announcement was made that we were going to be losing our jobs. But check this out. And I was thinking, what the heck is going on? I had this feeling of joy and peace come over me. And do you know what it was? It was just, I was so sick of everything going so well in my life and being called a Christian.
Amen.
Guys, you know how hard it is to minister to people that are going through tough times when you really got nothing to complain about?
Amen.
These last 4 and 5 years, my bank account has been getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I've got so much money put away in savings. And I'm not trying to get robbed. Like, I'm not talking like this, but... The whole point is, I'm just saying, God's been very, 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 very good to me.
Amen.
No complaints. No issues with family getting sick or nothing like that. Everyone that I know is healthy, doing well. My bank account's gotten fatter and fatter. COVID gave us more money than anything has ever given us. All right? So you see what I'm saying? Now, why is that so important? Because of this right here. That's Monday. When my boss says all this stuff, I'm going to do all this stuff for you before if they fire you, I'll make sure you have a place to go before you leave here. And I'm telling him I'm not counting on doing that, nothing like that. But I'm just showing you guys what God will do for you. But check it out. Tuesday shows up. That's one day. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, let those not the day may bring forth. Tuesday shows up. I get a call from a friend. Hey, my wife is dying and she wants you to do the funeral. Okay, I've never done a funeral before. I've gone to one deathbed before, and that was a co-worker who asked me to go visit their sister. But now here's someone that I've known, you know, for most of my, at least the time I've been in this church, and their wife's dying, and they say, hey, we've been talking, and she wants you to do the funeral for her. And not only that, but she might not make it to the end of the week, and her last coherent day might be today or tomorrow. They live 2 hours away. Can you come down immediately? All right, well, there's a thing called PTO. You can't like really just leave your job, like announce like that and everything. But once again, I think before the news about losing your job, I would have been very intimidated by that because I had no type of hardship whatsoever coming my way. But it's almost like God was setting things up just to give me the ability to be able to relate to somebody that's going through something tough, to be able to go out there and have a word to minister to them. And so I did. I went down there, spent 5 hours next to her, holding her hand. And guess what we talked about? Guess what we didn't talk about? All the crap that most people are talking about now. There's only one thing that's on your mind at that point. What am I leaving behind and where am I going?
Amen.
But you know what that did, guys? That made me so much more hungry. You know what? I felt ashamed. I've been spending all this time making good decisions, trying to avoid trouble. How many of you guys ever played Mario Kart in here? Raise your hands. You know what happens when you go over that star and you get star power? What can stop you when you have star power?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? One of the stupidest things I ever did when I got that star power, like, because I was just so used to having to avoid stuff and get around the obstacles, I would still do that when I had the star power and completely forget that I could just go right through those things. You've got star power. I'm not talking about LGBTQ, all that crap like that. You've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you.
Amen.
Once Amen. Again, who no one, nothing can stop him.
Amen. Except
for me. And here I was, absolutely, quenching him this whole time. He wanted obstacles in my life so he could prove himself to me. So we could prove ourselves to the world.
Amen.
How are you accomplishing that stuff, Zach? The Holy Spirit of God. I set none of this stuff up. I did nothing. What are you guys sitting in here today trying to avoid? What heartache, what hardships are you trying to run away from today that God wants to take and tell a great story with that? That's the difference between the Laodicean and the Philadelphian church. Yeah, we've actually got more doctrine than those guys did. A lot of times you look at those great saints back there, God did some miraculous things with them, but they're actually off on their doctrine. But God still loved them, and he still used them more than us.
Amen.
Because it's not always about truth with God. It's about trust. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Will you go out on that limb for God, and while he's sitting right there sawing it back and forth, and trust that when that limb breaks, he'll catch you? You don't have to. There's that old song, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God?" And then he comes through, he says, "Surely I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word." You got the star power, you've got the book, you got someone unstoppable that lives inside of you. Are you gonna use them? Now, why am I telling this to kids who are still under their parents? Because of this thing right here. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith." If you can't trust God now when you got nothing, it ain't going to happen when you get older. Because all you're going to trust is your experience, in your good choices.
Amen.
Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? If you let him, will you step into that wilderness with him to watch him furnish it for you? No matter where we're at, if we're right about the times we live in, we're all going to be stepping into a wilderness here pretty soon.
Amen.
Don't fret that thing. Just make sure you're going into that thing with the Lord God Almighty. Yeah, you might be leaving the village behind you. You might be on that beachfront, and out in front of you is that formidable, great, and wide sea. But you've got a haven of rest. He's the one getting into that boat with you. I mean, that's exciting, man. Life's going to end at some time. Don't you guys want a story like that to leave behind? A story of trust and faith and daring obstacles that you trusted God to get you through. Or are you just fine having the same testimony as any unsaved person that made good choices? What are you going to let God do in your life that he can't do in an unsaved person's life? I'm not sitting up here talking to you high and mighty. I told everyone that I told this story to, I said, hey, I'm telling you this right now, just like you kids, you're going to hold me accountable now. So that when stuff starts jacking up in my life and it starts going wrong, you can hold me accountable this night right here. Hey. In everything, give thanks, Zach, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. Doesn't he do all things well?
Amen.
I'm trying to set this thing up so I can't turn around when my attitude changes. When I start getting hungry, or I don't know where the next check's coming from, or how I'm going to pay a medical bill or something like that. I want you guys to say it. Don't forget November 18th. 2021. You're talking kind of big that night, sir. How you feeling tonight? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Real quick, I want to share 6 verses with you to take home. I need 6 volunteers. Raise your hands real quick so I can throw these out, and then we can just call you guys out and you read them to me. All right, Elena. You'll have Ephesians 3:20. Macy, you'll have 2 Corinthians 9:8. Kinsey, you'll have Philippians 3:21. I need 3 more. Jordan, you'll have 2 Timothy 1:12. Ethan, you'll have Hebrews 2:18. I need 1 more. Caleb? Or Colton? You want it? Colton, take Hebrews 7:25. Everybody else, get something that's loose in your hand. If all you got is your Bible, that's fine too. But hold, make sure you have something loose in your hand. Make sure you have something loose in your hand. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Have something loose you can wave. If you need to, get your little packet with you. Ephesians 3:20. Who has that? Go ahead, Elena. Read it with your big girl voice.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Now unto him that is able. Can God?
Yes.
He is able. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Repeat after me. He is able.
He is able.
Say it again.
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 He is able.
That's right. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Who's got that one? Read it out. Macy.
And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that he always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work.
Has God asked you to do something impossible? Then he's got grace that's sufficient to get you through it. Macy's verse said, God is able. Say it.
God is able.
Say it again.
God is able.
Say it again.
God is able.
Say it like you mean it.
God is able.
That's right. Amen. Philippians 3:21. Who's got it? Read it out.
Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working
whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
One day we're going to put off this old flesh, this corrupt thing, this thing that's been holding us back all of our life, and God's going to give us a glorified, pristine, new, beautiful, immortal body. And not only that, the Bible says he's able to subdue all things unto himself. Kenzie's verse said, he is able. Say it.
He is able.
Say it again.
He is able.
Say it again.
He is able.
Say it again.
He is able.
2 Timothy 1:12.
For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that.
Now what happens when you have a really horrible day and you maybe look at something you shouldn't look at or say something you shouldn't say or do something you shouldn't do, and you're supposed to have the Holy Spirit of God, but you just act like someone that's never even heard of him? Did you lose it? For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. His verse said he is able. Say it.
He is able.
Say it.
He is able.
Say it.
He is able.
All right, next one. Hebrews 2:18.
For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted.
Aren't you glad you got a God that understands where you're coming from? Yeah. That came down here, that gave up the throne. Oh, look at that. He gave up his comforts. Did God ever make a bad choice? Then why was he suffering?
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, what was that for? To make him perfect and so that he could relate to you and I. He never knew what it was like to be a moron like me. To constantly make the same bad choices over and over. To be like a dog that keeps returning back and forth to his vomit. Or a sow that wallows in her mire. He was never like that. But so he could relate to you, he did it.
Thank God.
What are you willing to relate to somebody else? I'm not talking about getting into sin. I mean, you ever think about when your friend's going through something tough, asking God to help you relate to them and then take whatever he drops in your lap so that you can? 2 Corinthians 3:1-4, blessed be God, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, which comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble. You know what that means, guys? Any trouble that an unsaved man or anybody in history has gone through down here, you, while making good choices as a Christian and doing the right thing, God will let that same horrible situation fall into your lap just to make you an able minister to them. Jesus Christ was our example, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are.
Yes.
He is able to secure them that are tempted. It says right there, he is able. Say it.
He is able.
Say it.
He is able.
Now say it again.
He is able.
And my favorite one right here, Hebrews 7:25. Go ahead, Ethan.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. I heard an old preacher say one time, from the guttermost to the uttermost. And that's how God does it. No matter where you're at. Maybe you know somebody in your life that's in the gutter. Well, he is able to save them to the uttermost, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. That's what he's up there doing right now, thinking about you, thinking about me, and taking our worries, our cares, our struggles before his Father. Everybody got their thing they're going to wave in their hand? Got one more here, and I want to hear you guys say it, and let our Lord and Savior know that we believe in him. We're counting on him to get us through. We're not counting on our good decisions to get us through these times coming up.
Amen.
Because we're going to get confounded. It's going to be hard to even make a decision at times. But all we can do, we can drop on our knees and say, God, put me where you want me to be. God, take me where you want me to go. God, use me how you want me to be used. Maybe I'm just going to be a pipe. I can't do nothing. I might not even understand what's going on. But Heavenly Father, don't let me quench you while you're trying to flow through me to get what you want to get accomplished done. Don't let me hold you back, Holy Spirit. Use me. There's nothing impossible for God. All right? God is able. Say it.
God is able.
God is able.
God is able.
Say it again.
God is
say
able.
Say it again.
God is
come
able.
Come on now, say it like you mean
God
it.
God is able.
Say it again.
God is able.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your mercy.
Wherever we're at, Lord, whatever you're doing in our lives, Lord, I only know my life personally, Lord. I know what you're doing with me.
Do it all.
Just personally, help me get it right. Help me figure it out. Help me just let you work in my life instead of holding me back all the time. I pray the same for everybody, Lord. Wherever we're at, Lord, whatever we're going through, whatever it is you're trying to show us, Lord, but we're just not listening. Show it to us, Lord. Just help us deny our flesh. Help us deny our own thoughts, our own feelings of what we might think we should do instead of and embrace what you tell us we're supposed to do. Lord, help us just to be the Christian you want us to be, Lord. Before we get out of here, I mean, there's so many people that just play it easy. They play it safe, Lord, and that's just what that's what our country's all about. It's all about playing it safe and being comfortable, Lord. But, Lord, the Bible calls on us to be the exact opposite of that. The Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. At some point in our lives, Lord, we got to lay something on the line. We got to go through some kind of hardness, Lord. And I pray that wherever we're at with that, us each individually here, Lord, that we'll endure that hardness, that we'll say yes to it, Lord, and that we'll stop making excuses, or we'll stop holding ourselves back, Lord,
take the
and
actually
let you work in our life. Lord, please just bless the message that you gave Zach, Lord, and just bless us in our relationship with you, Lord. Help us to do the things that you have us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You know what? That's a good one.
Go ahead. Let's sing a little bit of that before we get out of here. I think they're getting close. We can sing maybe one or two. What line is? What page is that?
That's a good way to end. Is it For I Know?
No. I'll just sing the one from.
For I Know Whom I Have Believed.
No.
224. Thank you, Anna. Is that what it is? All right. Thank you, Anna. All right. Let's do verse 1 and verse 5. Here we go. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. Back.